Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget you can also stream us live at www.guardiantalkradio.com. Go there, there's a live streaming button and click that, but even better, you can download the app on the Play Store or App Store on your device, download TuneIn Radio and carry Guardian Radio around with you all day. Leah, one of my guests is already laughing. Everyone knows I'm super technologically not friendly, so I only just got a smartphone a week ago and I hate it. I want my bubbler back, but never mind. So we're here to speak to two artists that we brought together for a show opening on Friday night. We're hoping the audience will come out and join us for that. It's part of our Double Dutch program. The Double Dutch program was a program that I started with the former chief curator, John Cox. And the whole idea behind it was to bring the region closer together and to develop conversations that cross boundaries. So traveling through the Caribbean, you know, I realized trying to make connections with other art institutions that, you know, our stories are similar but different, and that there is so much we can talk about that brings us closer together, and that when you travel and internationally, we are stronger as a region than we are alone, because simply by numbers. And I think that the strength of our own individual art scenes is already really high, but together we really are like a sort of wave that can take over the international art world. So it was really a way to kind of bring people together and to create conversations. So this is going to be, I think, the fifth iteration of the Double Dutch series. We've already had four exhibitions bringing a Bahamian artist in conversation with an artist from somewhere in the Caribbean. This version is opening on Friday night, and we have an artist from Jamaica, Leashu Johnson, whose name I'm always not pronouncing correctly.
Leashu
Johnson from Kingston, Jamaica, and our own Christopher Edrin Simonet.
Well, it's Edrin Christopher.
It's Edrin Christopher. Yeah. Okay, so everyone calls, yeah. Some people call you Chris and some call
some
you Edrin.
Edrin, right.
I call you Edrin.
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
I didn't know which way it went, but anyway, from Long Island. Yeah. But
well, originally from Eleuthera, but currently living in Long Island.
Oh, that's
Island.
Right, you are. You're from
right.
Eleuthera.
Yeah, Rock Eleuthera. Yeah. Rock Sound Eleuthera.
Okay, shout out to Rock Sound.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring them both in to speak about not only the project itself, but really, you know, both, again, to sort of draw the similarities between you know, how people find their paths as artists in our region. So what was your path from Eleuthera to where you are today, Chris Edrin?
That's fine, Edrin or Chris. Well, I mean, most persons who live on the family islands, you know, we have to ultimately migrate to Nassau for work and for
right.
school and that sort of kind mm-hmm. of thing. And art has always been a major part of my life. My dad did art in college. My mm-hmm. mom is a school teacher, and so, you know, I was always surrounded with this sort of kind of creativeness.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came to Nassau. I attended the College of the Bahamas, started doing my associate's degree and everything there. And I was exposed to different artists, John Cox, Antonius Roberts, you know, persons like that, and Joan B. Hague. And so you started seeing all this sort of kind of work being made and being done here in Nassau
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That wasn't seen in Eleuthera. You
mm-hmm.
know, you weren't exposed to that. And so that sort of kind of like revitalized and invigorated me to sort of kind of want to really do what it was. Because I initially started out doing chemistry,
mm-hmm.
like science in school. But then when I got to the college, I realized that involved a lot of maths, which I'm really not interested in. So
yeah.
my parents really encouraged me to do what it was that I wanted, which
so
ultimately
I was
going to
say,
art.
Did you find most of the encouragement for your path came from your parents? I mean, I think it's really interesting that, I mean, I guess it's sort of obvious, but also interesting that you were discovering these, not only international artists, but Bahamian artists
right.
only when you got to college and got to Nassau. So it's something we've been trying to do. We're taking the collection to the Family Islands now.
Right, yes.
So we've done several trips with the National Collection. But so at school, was there no introduction to some of the local artists, or were they mostly the masters and not the contemporary artists?
Yeah, it was mostly like, you know, the masters. So you would have heard about Stan Burnside and Max Taylor in terms
mm-hmm.
of seeing like his printmaking and
mm-hmm.
whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But it was mostly two-dimensional work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't get to see the contemporary works of, you know, like your John Cox, for
mm-hmm.
example.
Mm-hmm.
Or you didn't get to see the real three-dimensional works from your Joan
mm-hmm.
B. Hague in terms of ceramic.
Right.
Or even Antonius's sculptures, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So it was really sort of kind of bare bones introduction
mm-hmm.
to the Bahamian art, and then your typical, I guess, Picasso, for
right.
example, you know, like
right.
everyone, my son is doing Picasso now in grade 4, you know, so that's like
yeah.
your basic,
right.
you know, art history, you know,
right.
that we were getting, you know.
So the greats.
Right, yeah, like so the greatest you weren't getting introduced to, like, I remember I'm seeing Alan Wallace's work the first time when I went to, I think it was the initial Annie show, you know, and that was at the College of the Bahamas, you know, like that was the first time I would have seen work like that in terms of scribbles and pen work and really detailed stuff. So, yeah.
That's really amazing. So I think that's something that we as a national institution really have to work against, obviously, or work towards ending. And I think we're trying very hard, but again, it's a challenge with the way our nation is
set
on
up,
you know, well set up. It's really to get even 20 paintings on a boat to another island is I don't even want to say out loud how much that costs. It's really quite extraordinary. But anyhow, so then you got here and then you met all those guys, and did that then change your practice before that? Because I think of you as a sculptor almost. I mean, that's how I think of you now, because that's how I've always known your work, right? You've been doing the masks and these large scale installations and things like that. So I didn't know the young Edrin. How did your practice change when you got here?
Well, the thing is, I've actually been like doing the sculptures and stuff now for like maybe like the past four years.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always really influenced by like graffiti and street art and art that sort of kind of like invaded this space, or art that sort of kind of left this impression on the viewer. So I did a lot of two-dimensional work in terms of painting and, you know, stencil work and you know, these really, like, I always incorporated a lot of black in my work because I think black is a really strong color and it actually made other colors stand out and pop a lot more. So you know, I started looking at some of the pop artist work, Andy Warhol, you know, Jasper Johns, persons like that.
Lichtenstein.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you see this use of color and the impact it had on the view and stuff. So initially, in the college, I did a lot of paintings. I did a lot of social commentary with regards to it. It sort of kind of touched a little bit on, I guess, you know, our Afro-Bahamian-ness and that sort of kind of thing. But it was really still trying to find my way, my voice in the conversation that was going on. And then I started sort of kind of seeing these three-dimensional works and how they can occupy space and how they could be used, you know, to still deliver these different concepts that you wanted to do. And so that's when I started experimenting with various materials, like utilizing plaster bandages to create molds, discovering alginate as a means to create even more highly detailed molds.
Your molds are they're unbelievable,
right? Yes,
I actually have one in my house, and every once in a while I feel like she's going to talk to me any second. But it was interesting, I had a kid in the gallery the other day. I think you're gonna like this, because we had your series of masks on the wall for a while in show, and this little girl came in and she went, "Where are the people whose faces are coming through the wall?" Because she didn't even see it as a mask hanging on a wall. She actually really felt that there were people behind the wall whose face was coming out. And I thought that was such a beautiful way to read it. And she was so excited. And I was like, "Oh, he's going to have more upstairs. Don't worry." You know, like she right away, she was like, "That was my favorite work."
Yeah. Those works themselves really was like the catalyst for where my work is right now.
Yeah.
The Lucayan Evolution series I did in like my final year of advanced painting class with Heinrich Schmidt. And he really challenged me to try and create a series of body of work that I could sort of kind of use and grow from.
Mm-hmm.
And I continuously try to utilize my art as a means of expression. I don't always consider myself this grand talker or this person that's able to, you know, so I use visuals in trying to like get the way that I feel across. And I think most artists, that's essentially what they try to incorporate themselves into it. So the Lucayan Evolution essentially came from my family background. You know, it stemmed from this whole idea of my grandmother being from Long Island and you know.
See, that's why I knew there was a Long Island connection
somewhere.
Right,
yeah, there's some Long Island connection, you know, and so I kind of did, you know, a little research and that stuff. And the whole idea of life casting itself, I just found the process I find interesting now. I find it more interesting at the moment than painting, you know,
is
because
it's
a very
relationship with the person as well, or is it just the process and the final outcome?
I think it's both, right? Because you have to talk to someone. You're in this person's intimate space. You're utilizing their body part to create this mold. You have to sort of kind of reassure them that, you know, this is fine, this is okay. Not to mention that you're encasing them or trapping them in this material that they're uncertain of.
Right now, I mean, there really must be a level of trust that's
right. And so, you know, so they ultimately allow me to do this, you know, to them. And then the process of creating it itself. Sometimes, like when I initially started, the way I did it, I wasted a lot of material. I've spent a lot of money on the material and trying to learn it, you know, trying to figure out, you know, even now I'm still learning things about it. And I'm constantly trying to find ways to incorporate where I currently am in Long Island, because
mm-hmm.
It's kind of difficult, you know, being on a family island, like you said.
To get materials. Yeah, well, even here. I mean, I ran into an artist just the other day. I mean, a very traditional artist that I know, and we were at Book World where he went to, you know, he just was like, you know what, what we can buy on this island, even in the time he's been alive, he's like, it's just sad.
Right.
Like, you know, these materials are going to just fall apart
yeah.
in 20 years, you know, yeah. and it's true. I mean, even for like, I'm making a kind of impassioned plea to anyone who's listening that, first of all, we need a reduction on duty of art supplies. Absolutely. It's 45% and it's insane that it's considered a luxury item.
Yeah.
You know, because 45% and artists are just so not the people that can afford that.
No.
But also we need quality things being brought in. We need quality paints and quality canvases and things like that. And so you're really using the materials you find around you.
Right.
As yeah. much from necessity as from interest.
Right. Yes. So the work right now. Is utilizing Long Island is a beautiful place. Our country is a beautiful place. And I've encountered, you know, there's not a lot to do on the island.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I love to do is fish. I mm-hmm. like to go fishing. And mm-hmm. in going fishing, you know, you expose to these different spaces. You know, there's a lot of sand. They're different.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Jordana Kelly did a mm-hmm. piece for NEA8
right.
in
yeah.
which she identified different sands,
different kinds of sands from all over
each
the
island.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I thought that like I've always seen it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I really sort of kind of paid attention to it a little bit more after seeing that,
mm-hmm.
and so like in Long Island, I was able to identify like four or five different types and textures
mm-hmm.
of sand,
mm-hmm.
like literally just in one area.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I mean one area, like a settlement,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and so I found that was amazing, and so I decided to incorporate my mold making technique
mm-hmm.
and incorporating the material that I utilize now in terms of being polyurethane resin
mm-hmm.
and finding a way in which to create these structures or sculptures that are seen or appear to be created from sand, but
mm-hmm.
you know, sand is
kind of growing out of the earth,
right?
And in a way that ties in, because we had a piece so the Lacayan evolution was really questioning this idea of identity and like what resides within us in terms of genetics, you know,
right.
in terms of, and I thought it was very interesting that so we had this piece called The Residues of Colonial Past. We had it in our sculpture garden, which we then unearthed and put in the project space, and it was
yes.
sort of a human form in a sort of fetal position, looking
yeah.
like it was sort of growing out of the earth or maybe had been put in the earth. And right when we had that on show, they discovered the first graves.
Right, yeah.
And it was in Long Island,
yeah,
right, where they found
yeah,
the first Lucayan.
They actually found Lucayan remains
yeah.
preserved. You
and in that position, which I just
yeah.
thought was, I saw the picture in the newspaper and I couldn't believe it,
yeah.
that your art had kind of foreseen this
right, this whole
this
like,
discovery, which
yes,
I just found extraordinary.
Yeah,
and so we had that, and so this project now that you're doing, and we'll talk about that in the last segment, I'm going to turn to Leisha after the break, kind of grew from that too in a way.
Right,
so there's been this sort of also like an evolution,
right?
Which I think is sort of interesting. You talked about the Lucayan evolution, but now there's been sort of this evolution in your work from those first masks that we had
to what it
through
is
to
now.
Kind of this piece,
right.
and I really like that. So we have unbelievably almost got to the end of the first segment, so it goes very quickly.
Right.
We're just going to go to a short break and then bring Leisha into the conversation. His name I can still not pronounce properly, but he's very gracious about it. I know he's like, just don't worry. So he's come all the way from Jamaica, and you touched a little bit, Edrin, on the street art aspect of your beginning, and that's, I think, one of the things that, because when Holly, our chief curator, is sort of looking for people to pair, she's sort of looking at conversations that you can have together and also sometimes materials and things like that. And Leisha, you also sort of talked to me last night, and we'll talk about it a bit on the air, about the beginnings of your practice, which sort of brings you together, and these ideas then of identity and other things that we touch on in the work. So we're going to go to a quick break now. We have Edrin Simonet in the studio with us. So originally from Eleuthera, then to Nassau, currently
now
living
in
Long Island
yes.
with grandmother from Long Island.
Yes, Grammy from Long Island.
Grammy from Long Island.
Yeah.
And we have Leisha Johnson, who's been here now with us for about four or five days from Kingston, and he's working on the piece. The show's going to be called Of Skin and Sand. It's part of the Double Dutch series, and that's going to open on Friday night, and there will be a performance aspect and an artist talk, so we're really encouraging people to come out. We're going to talk more about that after the break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.